Here are the top ideas from How to Make a Hell of a Profit and Still Get to Heaven by Dr. John F. DeMartini. This book is all about changing the perspective of money is evil, all rich people are assholes. If they're driving a nice car, if they have a nice house, they're a drug dealer. They fuck people over. All of these damaging and toxic views of people who have money that can hold us back from creating our own wealth. Think about it. If you see someone that has lots of money, but you've been brought up to believe that people with lots of money are assholes, you look at that person with lots of money and you go, well, they're an asshole. So you're not only judging them and you're going to treat them differently, but you're also stopping yourself from becoming like them. So anytime you get an opportunity to get a raise at work, to save a bit of extra money, your unconscious is saying to yourself, hey, no, but rich people are assholes. So I've got to get rid of my money. Okay. So you don't feel worthy. You don't want to associate yourself with those people. So you're going to get rid of the wealth. So really, the first part of the book, he really breaks down how making money is a spiritual thing. It's very rewarding and fulfilling to make money, because here is the big tip of the book: do things in fair exchange. What I mean by that is, don't give something for less than what it's worth, and don't receive something for less than what it's worth. Make sure that if you buy a coffee, that you pay the ridiculous $5. That's probably a bad example. The biggest markup bullshit thing that everyone buys. Anyway, if I go over to a friend's house and I help them move, what's the, you know, we all want to say, oh, giving's better than receiving. No, it's not. Because if someone is always giving, then you're the asshole because you're not giving the other person the opportunity to give back to you, right? So imagine at Christmas, all you did was give, and you didn't receive anything. Well, you've stopped the other person from having the opportunity to give you a gift from themselves. So the most amount of love and fulfillment is going to come from fair exchange. I give, I receive. And they are two of the things that are the most beautiful expressions of humans. What else is there? We find what we love. We do what we love. We get to make money doing what we love by serving others doing what we love. We expand, we inspire, and we help others to grow while we're growing ourselves. It's the perfect balance between altruism and narcissism. Narcissism is I deserve, I need to receive something. Altruism is I want to give back. You will not be able to give unless you receive. Even Mother Teresa, who gave a lot, she also received a lot because she needed a lot of money for a private jet to fly around the world, to help all the people, to do the marketing, to do the videos, to do all the things that she was in, to feed herself, to have staff, to do all of these things. Fucking Mother Teresa was receiving and giving in equal and fair exchange. So making money is a spiritual process because it helps you to understand this law of fair exchange. If you want to help someone more, then challenge them by getting them to give you more, whether that's in money, whether that's in time, whether that's in space, whether that's in writing a card. And it doesn't always have to be financial. Remember, it just needs to be a fair exchange, because if you give someone a beautiful present and they don't even open it and they just throw it in the trash, you're not going to want to give them another present again because they're not grateful for it. So why would you just keep giving if you're not receiving? Because a lot of people, they actually, and they bullshit themselves, right? So here's a fun little trick. If someone hates receiving gifts and doesn't, it's like, no, don't get me a gift, don't get me anything, they probably receive their form of value by watching you open the gift. So if someone is really keen on giving you a gift and they always give and you feel guilty about them always giving you things, let them give you a gift and don't open it. Just be like, oh, thank you, and just put it to the side. And they'll be like, oh, I'm just going to open it. And you go, oh, I'll open it later. Because these fuckers, they receive their value by watching you open the gift. Okay, so don't feel, I used to feel so guilty about my mum always buying me things, loving me, like giving me presents when I was a kid. And even now she'd like to take me out to food. Oh, let me get you some. Oh, you need to eat. Come on. Look. We all know those people. She gets so much value out of seeing me receive it and eat the food and do all these things. And I remember there was a time where me and my brothers were on holiday in New York and we did a helicopter ride around New York, which sounds amazing, right? And it kind of was. But the problem was it was like fucking way out of the city. Like I thought we were going to go like load towards the buildings and fly over the buildings and the park and, you know, do all this cool shit. It was like a 5-minute helicopter around Manhattan and it was just so average. And we all, and mum was talking about how much it was and how she'd planned it, how excited she was. And she was kind of feeling a bit stressed and overwhelmed from the trip. And I said to mum, stepped out or whatever. And I said to my brothers, hey, just, I know that was shit, but just say to mum how fucking amazing that was. And you'll just see her face light up. So we all like concocted this plan. And when mum came back to us and she was like, oh, how was it? And we were all like, oh, that was amazing. That was the best thing of my life. And she got so happy from seeing that. So that's the value exchange. But when we don't honor and we're not conscious of the value that we're exchanging, because it's always there. It's always there. Whether that's you give someone 50 grand and they fuck you over, you've just got a 50 grand lesson. They gave you a $50,000 gift, okay? And so the value exchange and the fair exchange is always there. We just need to be conscious of it. When we're conscious of it, we can slowly edge up higher and higher and higher and give more and also receive more. And it's also people like seeing someone have things. I know it sounds superficial, materialistic, but if you're not going to work for something and have anything in return, then people are like, oh, what the hell? Why is that person putting themselves under so much stress? They need to have something. So actually having things, and when you have things that you love, you know, I've always talked about having a Ferrari. I want a house on the beach. And it's, if you're connected to your soul and you do serve in fair exchange, you want to make the most out of the money, out of the time, out of your actions. So you're going to actually spend money on things that inspire you. By being inspired yourself, you're going to inspire others to do the same. So they're really connected. The spirituality and material, they're all connected. And when we serve in fair exchange, it becomes a spiritual transaction connected to our heart, and we're here to serve. So here is a mind-blowing sentence from the book that really got me to change the way I thought about things. Spirit requires matter to express itself, and matter needs spirit to give it motion and meaning. Okay, what does that mean? So spirit, our soul requires money in order to express itself. So like I was saying, I feel really connected to Ferraris because when I was a little boy, I saw the Ferraris around the racetrack. I saw them and I was like, wow, wouldn't it be so cool if I could have one? And all I tell my friends and they go, oh no, only super rich. You're going to be so successful. You'll never have one. Those people are. And I just, every time I see one, I'm like, that is so fucking cool. That is a representation of my soul. That is a representation. When I get one, well, I already have it. I'm just waiting to pick up the keys. When I pick it up, it's a representation of my soul, of something, a vision that I've had, right? So that is my spirit connecting to matter. I'm using matter to express my spirit and my soul and what I love. Matter needs spirit to give it motion and meaning. So money needs spirit to give it meaning. If there was no such thing as our soul, as our spirit, as our purpose, and we just spent money, there would be no meaning to things because there's no emotional value, there's no love, there's no gratitude for those things. So if, in order for money to be so important in society, it needs to be connected to our emotions, connected to our heart. And then we see that money and we go, oh, when I have that money, I can buy my food, I can feed my family, I can have a house, I can have transport, I can work on my clothes and my appearance, I can go to the gym, I can do all these things. They're going to help me to express my spirit and who I am. To our physical senses, the higher frequencies of light appear to be pure spirit, and the lower frequencies seem to be only matter. But in reality, spirit and matter are inextricably linked in a loving cosmic dance at all frequencies. Well, okay, let me break that down. I was talking to someone, my yoga instructor this morning, and she was saying how what we think is actually creating our own reality. Now, you might not say that our thoughts are reality. You think that, you know, the table, the brick wall, the ground, that's reality. But what's the difference? The difference is we see through electromagnetic radiation, a spectrum of light. The light that we see is a sliver of what is really going on, like 20% of the spectrum of light. So at the higher frequency, we're not actually, it's just kind of light. They're just thoughts. But at the lower frequencies, it's solid. So there's actually, the only difference between them is the frequency that they're vibrating at. So when we actually have a thought, we are creating our reality. And that is what's going on. Because if we go into a pink room, then we close our eyes and we go, it's black. The room turns black. We have the power of our mind can control our reality. So when you understand that you can actually have value within inside your spirit and your soul, and when you embrace who you are at the level of your soul, and you understand that nothing is missing inside of you, we're completely unique and individual, and we're all beautiful people here to express who we are and serve others and inspire others and help others to grow, it gives you such an incredible amount of value that's not financial, but it's spiritual. And you understand that in order to express my spirit, I'm going to have to, not have to, but in order to express my spirit, I require serving people. In fair exchange, I build up that finances and I spend more, and then I invest more in my spirit. What else is in the book? That was the biggest thing for me. He talks a lot about business as well, and the importance of delegating and prioritizing your tasks and filling your time up with just consistently the highest priority actions. So I'll read you this last bit. As my business grew, I realized that every moment that wasn't filled with something I loved became filled with something of less importance. Take the time to define your top priorities, because if you don't, your time will be filled with other people's priorities and probably your own fears. Fill your day with high intensity, high priority actions. Use every minute because it's your life. And every moment you're not focused on growing high priority flowers, you're planting weeds. Which will you choose? It's your precious time. So he's talking about there, this is kind of like the altruistic, narcissistic giving and receiving thing. Whereas if we feel we're prioritizing ourselves and we're giving to ourselves, then we might be a bad person because we're giving to ourselves. We need to give to others. Life's about giving to others. And that can sometimes stop us from giving to ourselves. So what he's saying here is, instead of giving other people your time and energy for their priorities, give yourself time for your priorities, because when you can prioritize your own life, prioritize your own actions, and you really love what you do, that's where you're most inspired. That's where you have the greatest capability and productivity and efficiency to serve others and help others. You're actually going to help others by being you than by helping others temporarily. Because if you don't fill your time with, I know it sounds horrible, but if you don't fill time with prioritizing what's important to you, you're going to end up fucking with your own fears, with your own bullshit, with your own resentments, with all this kind of stuff that's from putting other people above you. So don't put other people above you. See what you have it. See what do you think they have that you don't? Look within yourself to where you have that. Reflect and be present with your own soul and who you are and where your value is and where the value exchange is. That the value is always there. It's always fair. That rhymes. And you are important enough to prioritize yourself. There you go. Great book. It's an old one. And lots of wisdom in the book. Just because you make a lot of money doesn't mean you're an asshole. Just because you're broke doesn't mean you're an asshole as well. You're broke, or it doesn't mean you're a virtuous person. You're actually you're probably more of an asshole if you're broke, because you're not actually serving other people. If you don't have enough money, you don't care enough about other people to help them, because when you have financial capabilities, you can delegate and outsource things that aren't as important to you that are going to help you be more productive and help serve other people. What's going to help more people, $1 million worth of food or $10 worth of food? Who's going to feed more people? So something to think about. Thank you for watching. Look forward to seeing you listen and watch more of my book reviews, and subscribe.